Well, it's time once again to explore a range of health issues and ways of assisting people with them on Fitter, Happier this morning. This morning, we take a look at childhood immunisation. It's become a controversial topic in recent years, with some parents choosing not to vaccinate their kids. But how important are vaccinations and what effect can these diseases have on children who haven't been immunised? Director of Clinical Community Health Services, Truly Pinnajar, joins us on the MAG this morning. Truly, thanks so much for speaking to us.
You're welcome.
So we're talking about childhood immunisation. Why is this an important topic this month?
It's important, Chris, because school enrolments for kindy and pre-primary close soon on Friday the 21st of July. So parents need to provide their child's immunisation history statement to the school as part of that enrolment process. The statement that they need is called the Australian Immunisation Register History Statement, and parents can order their child's copy of that by visiting the Department of Human Services website.
Excellent. And so why is it important for schools to know if the children are vaccinated?
Infectious diseases spread really fast in a school environment, lots of kiddies running everywhere and having contact with each other. Vaccine-preventable diseases can be serious and can result in serious illness and sometimes death, unfortunately, and particularly in young children who are particularly vulnerable. If there is an outbreak of an infectious disease in a school, schools have got the opportunity to exclude children who are not immunised to protect them, and that's really going to impact on the education opportunities for those children.
So some critics would say that it's unfair to impose that on a family. What do you say to that claim?
I can understand that, but it's about protecting the health and well-being of all children. The scientists would call that herd immunity. So it's immunity of whole communities and populations. So that's what the immunisation program is ultimately there for.
So can you talk about some of the reasons why people might choose to not vaccinate and why it's become a problem recently?
If I can talk about the herd immunity that I was just touching on, if enough people are immunised against a contagious disease, it is possible to protect most of the community. And there's lots of people in the community who can't be immunised for medical reasons. There's age limits with some of the immunisations on the program, so people might be too young. A lot of pregnant people are not eligible for certain vaccinations that may be recommended. Alternatively, the pregnancy itself can make them particularly vulnerable. Lots of people with ongoing medical conditions as well aren't recommended to be vaccinated. And across the population to get herd immunity, we really need 95% immunisation rates across the board. In WA at the moment, we've only got around 92, which is slightly less than the national average of 93. Diseases that we protect against through immunisation can make children very sick. If you think back across the history of the immunisation program, there's many vaccines that aren't available anymore, and that's because we've completely eradicated the deadly disease through the immunisation program. Children are also able to pass diseases on to adults and the other vulnerable groups that I spoke about before. Mm. So immunising children at an early age when it's safe to do so protects a variety of age groups across the community. Mm. A lot of the diseases that we vaccinate against as well can be have increasing complexities. The older you are, you contract them, so there can be some really quite serious side effects from the diseases themselves if the immunisations aren't provided. Polio is a good example. We all might remember the polio vaccine, older generations particularly, but younger people, the children that we've got in the community nowadays, haven't seen the devastating effects of that disease at all because of the success of the immunisation.
Is it true that we are seeing a re-emergence of some diseases that we thought we had eradicated, and is it being correlated with a decrease in vaccination at all?
It could be, yes. I don't have the statistics to hand at the moment, but absolutely. And we know that the immunisation program is pretty much definitely nationwide, but also very common internationally. But there are areas of the communities across the world that have low uptake, and absolutely exactly what you said, it affects the impact across the broader community.
And so herd immunity essentially sort of invokes almost a sense of social responsibility. So with vaccination, it's not just about protecting the child being vaccinated, but protecting everyone that's around them. Is that accurate?
That's correct, yeah.
So can you talk about what the no jab, no pay policy is exactly?
This is a federal government policy. It didn't start in the WA state government. And put simply, it means that children who are not fully vaccinated aren't eligible to receive family assistance payments. If anyone listening wants further information, the Department of Human Services website has more information.
And so how exactly does immunisation work, and what do you think some of the misconceptions about it might be?
The way that immunisation works is that the vaccine is a product made from killed or live and weakened strains of viruses or bacteria. When it's given into the body, an immune response is triggered, which then protects you if you come into contact with that virus or bacteria. I hope that makes sense.
Yep.
So it gets the body used to that particular virus or bacteria in a very controlled way. I feel that one of the misconceptions is that it actually is something that attacks the immune system, when actually it does the complete opposite, and it supports the immune system to recognise these dangerous viruses and bacteria and then fight against them if the body comes into contact with them. So it actually strengthens the immune system rather than weakens it.
And that's true in spite of some of the side effects that might happen in the days after getting an immunisation?
At the end of the day, vaccines are a medicine, and as with any other medicine, they can have side effects. And the side effects after vaccination usually are quite mild. They're not long lasting, and they don't really need any special treatment. They might be a mild temperature, a mild fever, redness at the site of the injection, and the recommendation there is just to treat with paracetamol, rest and water. So really that's just a local reaction. So where the injection has gone into the body, that's what causes that reaction. But the mild fever is the body's response to that controlled vaccine going in, and it's just the body making sense of what it needs to do with it. Serious reactions to vaccines are incredibly rare. If they do occur, they're usually quite evident immediately, and doctors and nurses are able to respond quickly, which is why everybody's instructed to just wait 15 minutes or so after the vaccination. And risks from the diseases that we vaccinate against are far greater than the risk of the vaccination itself. The diseases are far more risky than the needles.
And so it's when those reactions happen and a child may not be able to continue with their full course of immunisation that herd immunity is so important. Is that right?
The rare side effects other than the ones I listed, is that what you mean?
Oh, as in, so sometimes that's severe, like a severe reaction could be one reason why a child might be unable to be vaccinated, which is why herd immunity is so important for those children.
If any children have a severe reaction to any of the vaccines, they're referred to specialist doctors for investigations, and they may be able to continue with the rest of the vaccination program. So it isn't necessarily a given that they can't. There's other reasons that other medical reasons why people may not be able to have the vaccination program.
There seems to be a fear about the overuse of antibiotics in our society at the moment and the effect that that might be having on the population's immune system and our natural ability to fight off diseases. Can you talk about what the difference is between children getting something and their own immune system naturally fighting it off and the things that they need to get immunised for?
So the immunisation program vaccinates against diphtheria, tetanus, whooping cough. There's still some polio. There's chickenpox, measles, mumps, German measles. They're just a variety of the diseases that we vaccinate against, and all of them have serious, sometimes fatal results if the child isn't able to fight the infection through having the vaccine on board. A simple course of antibiotics in all of those cases is unlikely to help the child rally round. The coughs and colds, chest infections, things that are quite common and don't have as severe side effects. I'm not a doctor myself, so I'm not a prescriber of antibiotics. I'm completely aware of what you're talking about, that there is some thinking that there's overuse, but that's down to the doctor's assessment of the situation. Sometimes there's bacterial infections versus a virus. A virus is sometimes thought to be something that the body is equipped to fight, whereas a particular bacteria is just a little bit more complex for the body to fight against on its own. So an antibiotic medicine just assists the body in fighting that infection.
So I've always carried around a big hefty book containing the vaccination history of myself and everyone in my family, and I've always been worried about what would happen if I were to lose that book. But everyone's vaccination history can be found through the government website online, can it not?
That's right. So the Department of Human Services website that I've talked about before, it receives all of the information from the Nationwide Australian Immunisation Register. Mm-hmm. So as an immunisation is given, it's automatically uploaded onto the National Register, which the Department of Human Services has access to.
And so is it free to get immunised?
Yes, it is. There are a number of community-based services who provide the vaccinations free. A lot of GPs bulk bill for children as well.
Are there any other places that parents can go to get their children vaccinated?
A number of local government LGAs, local government agencies in the metropolitan Perth area. So that's the City of Bayswater, the City of Joondalup, and the City of Wanneroo. They do some community-based clinics as well. There's a Healthy WA website that people can access that lists all the available community-based clinics.
Excellent. On Fitter Happier this morning, we've been speaking with Director of Clinical Community Health Services, Truly Pinnajar. Truly, thanks so much for joining us on the show this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.